Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Sirius XM 206, live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Always a fun day today. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki is out, but we will roll as we usually do here. National Overreaction Day. You may as well call that. That's what we should do. You know, if we don't call it National Overreaction today, let's just keep it real. Most people who do what I do for a living should just call it Pretend I Know What I'm Talking About Day. Because, I mean, listen, the way this goes, 90%, and I'm not even pretending that I know all this stuff. I don't. 90% of the people who will lead the conversations today, I don't mean if you're watching Billis or that crew, or obviously our own on CBS Sports Network, Rothstein, who's tremendous. John's going to be in studio next hour. But I mean, you know, just general radio commentary, banter on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Most of the people leading the conversation today don't know a lot about college basketball. I mean, that's really all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean you can't fill out 90,000 brackets. Doesn't mean you can't be rooting for somebody. Doesn't mean you can't have opinions. But what it does mean is that the amount of guesswork today and really the next couple of days, it's incredible. I mean, I just think about this in totality before we start cutting into specifics of what happened, who got hosed, etc. We're dealing with young kids, right? Unpredictable young kids in foreign venues for the most part. You get out of conference, you know, playing at all these first and second round sites. You're playing against teams you really don't know much about. In the event that you do win the first game, the turnaround for the second game is incredibly quick. So it's basically just a cursory glancing of personnel. And you got to mix in the unpredictability of the three-point shot. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, listen, Duke could come out two rounds from now and they could go 2-for-19 from three and they could lose. You know, as I look at some of these teams here, you know, LSU, I just circled a few things that jump out. LSU, I don't know where they are mentally without Will Wade for an extended amount of time. I know they're good. I don't know much more than that. Kansas. Who's Kansas? I don't know. I don't know who Kansas is this year. Villanova, are you going to make the same mistake and count them out as you usually do? You know, I would say that this is the year they're certainly inferior, with all due respect to Jay Wright and that championship pedigree that they have in Villanova, PA. Inferior to what they've been, but we've said that about Villanova in the past. Who knows? St. Mary's, as they take out Gonzaga the other night, was that their anomaly or was that Gonzaga's anomaly? I don't know. I don't pretend to know. Belmont, I don't know. They got some shooters. Here's the thing that drives me, and I say this really with a smile. I mean this in all sincerity, but let me ask you, like, people waste so much time today, so much time on who got hosed. Oh, this team completely disrespect. How are they not in the dance? Well, first of all, again, most of the people formulating those opinions and driving that energy, they don't have it. They don't base it in anything that's factual. I've heard all morning, good, Indiana. Oh, my. Indiana got hosed, man. I got news for you. You know, I mean, forget about Isaiah Thomas not being at Indiana. Jared Jeffries isn't even at Indiana. You know, Calbert Chaney's not at Indiana. How in the world? Somebody, please, if you have the answer to this, I'd love to hear it. And don't tell me, well, it's a good conference, because that's not going to fly. How in the world, from Sunday, I just want to read something for you. This is hysterical. Sunday, January 6th, all the way to Friday, February 22nd. D-Cell, check this out. Here's the team that a lot of people are somehow conjuring up this energy that the school that I'm about to take you on a little journey with in terms of what they've done, that this team should be playing either tomorrow night, Wednesday night, or Thursday, or Friday. Ready? Loss, 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 loss. Win. Loss, 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 loss. In conference. Hey, do you watch basketball? How in the world I know that they beat Michigan State, who's terrific in overtime. How can anybody with any sort of basketball, a modicum, a speck, you know, a grain of basketball sensibility, make a case for it? I'm not taking on Indiana. Listen, when Indiana's good, the NCAA tournament's better. It's got great history. Of course, you want to see teams like the Hoosiers and, you know, Georgetown back in the day, or UCLA. Those are the, you know, those are staple teams you want to watch because there's pageantry. There's familiarity. You can identify with their past. But we're going to waste time on a team who got screwed because they lost 12 out of 13 games in the middle of the season. Here's something else that's mystifying to me. Now, I will be in Dayton going out tomorrow, St. John's. Last team in, literally. Last team in. Literally the last team in. But they got in. Here's one thing I don't get. And I think that this is really improperly positioned by many. So there's the stigma, the indignity of the first four. And I'm going to actually remove St. John's. This is more about just playing on either Tuesday or Wednesday. Got two games Tuesday, two games Wednesday. I don't love it. It's a little quirky. It's a little weird. It's a little wacky, a little overkill, a little unnecessary. I get it. But the indignity of the first four. Let common sense just infiltrate your thought process for a moment. All right. Now I will bring up St. John's for a second. St. John's, for the most part, you know I follow this, whether it's Lenardi, whether it's our guy Jerry Palm, whether it's the bracketology website that combines like 100 bracketologists and gives you a hybrid set. I follow this all year. For the most part, St. John's has been an 8 or 9 seed, and then obviously a downward cycle. They did not play well, and quite frankly, are fortunate to be playing another game. I mean, if they were going to the NIT, and I love them, but they'd have nobody to blame but themselves. Having said that, of course, I'm thrilled that they're going, but for the most part, St. John's hovered in that 8 to 9 range, even though they beat Villanova. Villanova's down. I'm not going to say they're not good, but Nova's down, and the Big East in totality is very down, maybe as weak as it's ever been in the history of the Big East. Okay, so just think about this: your team, if you find your, and this applies to Arizona State as well, if you find yourself in the first four, right, and you know, it's not even really the tournament. It's weird. It's just trying to make more money and package it differently. All right, whatever. Maybe that's true on some degree. Although, would you rather be in the NIT? The answer is no. But if you're an 8 or a 9 seed and you're lucky enough to win that game, flip a coin, right? Who do you play? The 1 seed. So you're going to play either Virginia and you'll score 50 points against them and they'll probably win by 17. Or you'll play Duke and Zion Williamson will have 13 dunks. By the way, St. John's played Duke this year and they got knocked around hard. They got destroyed. So would you rather that path, independent of St. John's and Arizona State, or would you rather go and suffer the indignity of the first four, okay? If you win, and let's face it, for the most part, you're playing a team with comparable flaws, maybe different styles, but if you're a team from a power conference and you get sent to Dayton, they're saying that you're good, but you've got some issues. You're not good enough to, you know, whatever. Okay. So if Arizona State wins, or if St. John's wins, whomever wins, better way to put it, that winner will take on the 6 seed rather than the 1 seed if you're the 8 or the 9 seed. And if they're lucky enough or play well enough to win that game, they play the winner of the 3-14 matchup. So spare me this rhetoric. It's such an embarrassment to have to go to Dayton. All right, it's an unconventional path, which, by the way, years ago, you know, VCU rode that all the way home, basically. But just in the context of competition, and I put quotes around this because nothing's easy now, it's easier. I mean, who doesn't see that? I don't know. All right, guys, how many brackets, Santer, how many brackets have you filled out? Have you even got busy on one yet, or do you wait? Santer's got none. Okay. D-Cell, what have you done so far, buddy?
I filled one out immediately last night.
Okay, do you go first? Are you the cut? Because there's a million ways to cut this. Do you, I don't think, knowing you, not to take anything away from your sporting acumen, but I don't think you're actually crunching RPIs and looking at strength of schedule as you pick teams.
That is correct.
Okay.
Based on mostly just the eye test, and I do watch more college basketball than the average Joe.
Okay, no, I know
I'm
you
do. I'm not sitting there every night.
I got you. Do you generally gravitate to the middle of the pack power conference team, or do you generally go and say, you know what, this team's a worse seed, but they've got 26, 27 wins. I don't know a ton about them, but I'm going to take a flyer on them.
I usually go with what I
like
know.
Like a Belmont type.
I usually go with what I know. I've seen more of the power conference teams, so I tend to go with the power conference teams.
Okay. The one thing we didn't know coming in, I want to play this for you right now because there's still a variable here and a relatively unknown, and that is the net ranking. All right, that is an all-encompassing metric that theoretically is supposed to, you know, place the best teams in the NCAA tournament. I'll tell you what, as I ran down Indiana's schedule before, you know, I'm hearing all sorts of squawking about NC State not getting in. NC State was 0-7 against teams that made the tournament. I think they beat one and seven. I think they beat Syracuse. But they beat up on the lower tier of the ACC, which, yes, it's the best conference in America, but the bottom part of the ACC is horrendous. So you just got to pick your battles. Yeah, I mean, if I'm sitting here today and St. John's didn't get in and NC State did, you got to take it on the chin. That's why you get 30 games, roughly. You got to challenge yourself with scheduling. You've got to win a couple of games on the road. And the thing about the net or neutral, you know, preseason tourneys, the thing about the net rankings is that it was positioned margin of victory. So if you win by 10-plus points, that was pretty important. One of the many stipulations in the all-encompassing metric that, as I said, was just devised this year. Let me play this cut for you. Bernard Muir, the selection committee chair on the net rankings. Go ahead, guys.
The net allowed for more quality one wins, especially when we looked at the number of conferences that fall in that quad one segment. And certainly Belmont, among others, certainly racked up some quad one wins. And that's what we found pretty impressive.
Okay. I mean, I know a lot of this stuff is foreign. Quad one wins, quad two wins, net rankings. Listen, the bottom line is this. There are, as much as I say, there's, you know, if you didn't get in by now, if you didn't do enough to thrust yourself into the conversation and force your way onto the positive side of the conversation, not that I'm saying that there aren't teams that do get hosed. Of course, there are. There's an element of subjectivity to a degree. But, you know, I can't shed tears. It's a long season. It's a long season. And we are where we are, and we enter now into, my opinion, you know, what equates to the absolute best time of the sporting calendar. And I've said this many times. You got this. The next couple of weeks are just phenomenal. Goes without saying. Obviously, the Masters is around the corner. Spring training baseball leads into the start of the baseball season. If you live in the Northeast, as I do, and Teak obviously does, before you know it, you're playing golf yourself. Weather thaws. Obviously, the days are a little bit longer. It's just a lot of fun. So I will give you a chance to challenge me on anything I said so far. If you think you got hosed, as much as I said you had a pretty good, you know, couple of month period to overcome that, if you think I missed something, 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. Also, I'll tell you coming up how you get a chance to host a show or part of a show with me and Teak. The Bracket Challenge is back. Sixth annual. A lot of fun. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Alrighty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save a little money, switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance on this Monday. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. My guy Teak is out. Teak is probably on hole number 8 right about now, playing at the Pro-Am down at the Valspar in Florida, and probably going through, as he rifles through his bag, picking up ball number 13-ish, maybe? Rondé's probably firing like a 70, and Tiki's probably shooting like a 109, which, by the way, I would shoot as well. Tough course, and haven't played, obviously, since the end of last year. All right, here's the one thing, and we were talking about this during the break, and this would seem incredibly radical. I don't think that anybody would really embrace this in terms of the decision makers, where they would embrace this enough on a serious enough level where it would actually be implemented. But the one thing that's painfully obvious, and this stinks because this used to be a lot of fun, the conference tournaments are a waste of time. They're a waste of time. They mean nothing. So, I mean, even the seating placement has somewhat negligible effect. And it's like, okay, well, what are we doing this? Because the history of the sport tells us that it used to be good, and it used to be meaningful, and it used to be relevant. I mean, I love the pageantry. Don't get me wrong, I was at the Garden a couple times this week for the Big East. I get it. It's cool. You know, and I know that there's some juice for some of these events, but I would almost rather see, forget, almost, this is going to sound crazy, delete every conference tournament and just have like a one big tournament, independent of the conference tournament, March Madness, so to speak, 100 teams, whatever it is. And then you could have, you know, what you'd have to do is you'd still have to make sure that the weaker conferences are protected, like the NEC and some of the lower rated, you know, maybe the Big Sky, just throwing a Big South, whatever it is. And, you know, maybe have some sort of stipulation where the automatic winners in those situations still receive the automatic bid. It can't be all randomness. Otherwise, you'll have, you know, 100 or 92 power schools and 7 or 8 from the smaller schools, which nobody wants. But I don't see any impact here. I truly don't. And I wish I did, because the tournament, the conference tournaments used to be awesome. I mean, they really, really used to be terrific. And I don't think that this year was an anomaly. I don't think I'm living in the moment. I don't think it's recency bias. I've thought this for a couple of years now. Now, I will say this. It was awesome watching Zion. And I'm telling you what, you know, what I said on Friday, I stand by. And we could talk about his dunking, and we could talk about his hops and his vertical. The thing that really, did you see that pass that he threw where he threaded the needle? Boom, past 2 Florida State defenders. I mean, like he was Magic Johnson running the break. In stride, laid it up. You know, the thing about Zion, and I really encourage you to watch this as we get ready for, you know, hopefully what's going to be a lengthy run by Duke. If they ever get knocked out early, we'll lose a little buzz, obviously. That goes without saying. But I challenge you to watch him and watch the finer points. Like, watch how he... I talked a lot on Friday about anticipation, and Billis talked a lot about it Friday night. His anticipatory skill, his IQ is insanely rare. And then you mix in, you know, the potency, just the obvious physical traits, the size, the strength, and of course the hops, and a young man who is so clearly committed to being a great teammate, which is so rare these days. Got to get mine. And I don't begrudge you for that. If I was that good, I'd be worried about getting mine too. Because if I get mine, my kids are set. You got to understand that. And Zion's been juggling something that it's, you know, obviously dissected quite a bit, going back to when he first got hurt 30 seconds into UNC when his sneaker blew out. You know, players who played the game who made tens of millions, if not upwards of 100 million, imploring him to sit out. I took the opposite approach. First of all, there's always insurance policies, number one. Number two, to guard against that to an extent. Now, to be fair, if you do get hurt, you know, whether it's Lloyd's or London, whatever, you're going to be wealthy, but that generational wealth, that's certainly in jeopardy. But name the last basketball injury where somebody was hurt so gravely on a basketball court that their earnings potential was completely compromised. And if you say Greg Oden from Ohio State, I would have to say that there was a lot of bone-on-bone there. You know, I'm just kind of throwing out some names. If you say Brandon Roy from Portland, and who was Washington Huskies, of course, borderline great young NBA player, bone-on-bone. I'm not talking about degeneration. Paul George came back nicely from the Olympic injury. Look at him. You know, he's top 5, top 4 for MVP. You know what I mean?
The one like that really stands out to me is Sean Livingston. I mean, he was a really early lottery pick, blew that knee out.
Several times, by the way.
But you remember him going up for the Clippers, his knee exploding.
Got hurt
air.
A few times. Mike, he's had, I mean, I would say that Sean Livingston has had at least 4 serious knee procedures. Amari Stoudemire, you know, he had the bone-on-bone. Penny Hardaway, Tracy McGrady. But these guys were in the NBA. You know, I baseball's different. Like, if you're a pitcher, not that the elbow's a real issue. The shoulder's certainly a big problem. You have a shoulder problem. Generally, it's far less predictable than the elbow is. You know, if you're a football player, if you're a corner and you're a receiver and you rupture your Achilles, that ability to start and stop and burst, you might lose 1 or 2 ticks off the 40. That could be an issue. But, I mean, where's the evidence about basketball players getting hurt and then just disappearing? Because I would love to read it. I mean, I watch as much basketball as anybody. I don't see it.
Maybe not getting hurt and disappearing, but getting hurt and significantly seeing a huge decline. I mean, Derrick Rose is another example, ACL. And I know, obviously, he made the NBA.
Sure.
But a lot of these guys, it's not like they get hurt and they never come back.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Porter Jr., another situation where he dropped in the draft. Who knows what his earning potential could be.
Well, Mike, he played 30 seconds in college. He was
still a first-round pick. Yeah, but he was the number one prospect. And
I understand that.
But the expectation was there. Same thing with Zion. He played a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of guys who the injuries don't make them drop off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But it just significantly changes what they could be long-term. And I think because these guys are so athletic, one or two, like in the NFL, you tear your ACL, you can come back and you're fine, especially an old lineman. In the NBA, one ACL injury like Derrick Rose had completely changes his entire career.
But it didn't, though. Actually, Derrick Rose was actually pretty good when he came back. It's the injuries that came. Actually, he was almost a complete replication of what he was statistically, and the burst was still there. It was the ensuing surgeries, which that's just bad luck.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible luck. You know, it's but basically, not to get wander too much off path here about injuries, but I'm just, it's so refreshing and so awesome, you know, just to see a young man bucking the recent trend about me, personal wealth, me, I, Zion Williamson special. And again, just to finish the thought about really challenging you as you watch him, you want to watch Reddish, you want to watch Barrett, you want to watch everybody else on the court when they play, watch him without the ball, watch him move. And, you know, even the balls he doesn't deflect, like he's in the neighborhood. His anticipation and his IQ is tremendous. And the other thing is his handle. And I talked about this on Friday. For a guy that big, generally the handle, you know, you have a propensity to take it above the waist. Not that I ever had a handle, but, you know basketball. You bring it above the waist, they're gonna take it right from you. And he's low. Like there's a shiftiness and an explosion, not just when he goes up to, you know, basically try to break the rim, but there's, I think he's going to be great. And I think he's so great for the sport. And I'm happy we get a chance to watch him. You know, and the other thing, too, is if you just tuned in here, I said, you know, obviously kind of kidding, but today really is National Overreaction Day about the teams who I just don't understand. And that's why I spend a couple of minutes and then I move on. You have to do it. Otherwise, you're not doing your job if you're me. But why would we get wrapped up on teams that didn't get the invite when so many of you didn't even watch them play this year? I'll tell you why. Because we wake up, and I've said this to Tiki a million times, people wake up predisposed to be miserable. People wake up to complain. That's what social media is all about. It's not about, you know, I mean, there are some great movements on social media. You know, movements that bring people together, generate money for the sick. And, I mean, there are some great aspects of social media, no question. But in large part, it's just crushing people, eviscerating people, destroying people, you know? And I think that when I look at the NCAA tournament in totality, yes, it's changed a lot from when I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, Patrick Ewing was a senior, and he played for 4 years. Four. Chris Mullin. 4 years. You know, Tim Duncan, 4 years. Unfathomable. That would never happen. Never. So we lose a lot of that. But what we do get is an element of unpredictability because of the three-point shot, because of the dearth of upperclassmen on the top teams, quote-unquote, the top seeds in the power conferences. You know, you take a team like Belmont, they're not trying out five freshmen. They're just not. They can't. You know, there's more structure. There's more continuity to their roster. So different viewing habits, different storylines. But, man, if you can't get into this, you're not a sports fan. You really can't. You're really not, I should say. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio. By the way, Rory, how about Rory closing the door? I thought Jim Furyk was going to come back and steal that thing. That if Jim Furyk would have won that at his age, and boy, Rory had to become Superman to win that thing. You know, I know it's not a major, but it's the closest thing to it. That would have been one of the most extraordinary golfing accomplishments I've ever seen. I mean, Jim Furyk hits the ball 270 off the tee. And it was 20-mile-per-hour winds at the Players' Championship. It was a great event. I mean, John Rahm with if you really follow golf, you saw this. His situation with the caddy. Caddy said, do this. He said, basically, go to hell. I'm doing this out of the bunker. He pretty much whiffed it. He rinsed it, and he lost, and he imploded. And it was a really good event at the TPC. And, of course, now that means we're getting ready for the Masters. So it all ties into the best time of the year. Let's get the update from Jay Berman. We've got that coming up now. After that, we've got Inbounds, Out of Bounds, Tiki and Tierney. Jay coming at you. Here's Jay.
I don't think so.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So we will get into Inbounds, Out of Bounds in a moment. First up, though, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros, at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag AskThePros. Stick around, listen later on, and we will answer your best ones. So if you challenge me, better chance that I'll actually get to it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'm going to have to get into this a little bit later. Clyde Frazier said something pretty interesting on the broadcast, on the telecast yesterday. Knicks and the Lakers were playing at the Garden, and LeBron's body language, LeBron's situation on the bench did not sit too well with one of the all-time greats, Clyde Frazier. And I'll play it for you, and I'll tell you why I think a lot of people have their are wrong. Although, obviously, it's opinion-driven. I think it's been framed very wrong, very unfair. I won't tell you who. I don't want to spoil it, but I'll get to that a little bit later. We got John Rothstein in studio, so I'll basically just lay back for 40 minutes, and he'll run through every roster. And, you know, once he's, I mean, listen, we have to have a geek alert. We have to have some sort of geek buzzer. When he starts geeking out too much, which he's going to do, hit the buzzer and we got to move on because he'll put me to sleep. I mean, I love John. I've known him as long as anybody that he knows in this business, but we got to hit a lot. And John can't start breaking, you know, he can't break down the ninth, you know, the ninth, I don't know, whatever the ninth subset of coach whomever at school, you know, at school Y. On the inbounds play, which John could probably do, but John's going to be here. So we'll give you all the heavy stuff, all the stuff you need to know, and John's going to be here coming up next hour. Football at the 40s as well. That LeBron stuff at the top of the hour, 5 Eastern and 2 Pacific. All right, Mike, before we do inbounds, out of bounds, this is the 6th annual. Now, this is not the 6th time we've given out this prize possibility. The 6th annual Tiki and Tierney March Madness Bracket Challenge. Can you alert everybody where to get it, how to get hooked up, all that stuff? We got.
Yeah, the link is too long to read out, but if you go to our Twitter page or Facebook, you can easily find the links spewed all over the place on your Twitter page, on your social media. Just go to Tiki and Tierney on Facebook or at Tiki and Tierney on Twitter, and you can find the links. You sign up. This is our third year now that we're doing this with this prize, that if you're an aspiring journalist or broadcaster or you just want to have some fun and be on national TV and radio, this year, as for the past 2 years, the winner gets to do an entire segment with you and Tiki. They host, they choose the topics, they choose the conversation, they lead everything. They can ask you questions, they can have you ask them questions. It doesn't matter. The first year we had Chris Schreiber was our inaugural winner. And he called in because he was, I think, in the West Coast.
That's right.
Last year, Daniel Girolamo was here in New York.
Where'd he go to school?
Marist?
My man from Marist.
That was right.
And it was not rigged.
Well, actually, that's still to be determined.
Get out of here.
That's still to be determined. I don't know what kind of shady stuff you were working over there.
Well, by the way, you and I have to get to that side bet at some point during the show today. We'll get to that later because Mike went to Arizona State. I do the St. John's games. We're playing on Wednesday in Dayton. We'll come up with a good bet there. But keep going, Mike.
Yes. So he came into studio.
Yep.
So this year, guys, if you want to be on the radio, if you want to be on TV for your girlfriends, your wives, your boyfriends, husbands, whatever it is, for your family, if you want to have that demo tape that you want to send out to any other national radio producer, this is your chance. Just go to Tiki and Tierney on Twitter or Facebook.
Good sell job right there. Listen, you're on the show. Velvet ropes start lifting up. I mean, you start going to clubs around the city. Oh, that's right. You want Tiki and Tierney? Come on in, man. Go to the champagne room. Be good. what was I going to say? I want to reiterate this, too, because if you live in California or Oregon or Hawaii or conceivably anywhere in the world, we're not flying you here. But if you live somewhere in the proximity of our lower Manhattan studio, you come right in, as we had last year with my man from Marist. So that's a lot of fun because there are a lot of people, who think what we do is easy. And there's parts of it that are pretty easy, and parts of it that are a lot tougher than it looks. And a lot of people, oh, I could do that. Come on in. Let's go. Go to Twitter. Bang in his. And now, no limits, right, Mike? We could. Did we have a limit?
It's a maximum of 3 brackets.
Oh, there was 3. That's right. We did have 3. Okay. So there's 3. Get it in. be ultra creative, be ultra wacky, and then obviously for one, you want to go with what you really think is going to happen. And whomever is left standing at the end, you come on in, you mix it up, we have a little bit of fun with that. And by the way, Teek and I will be going out to the Final Four. We'll fly in Wednesday after the Final Four. Wednesday after the show, and we'll be going out to Minneapolis, and we'll do our show Thursday and Friday right from the heart of the Final Four. So with that being said, time for Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Here's number one.
Mm-hmm.
After a short, unimpressive stint in the CFL, Johnny Manziel is headed back stateside after signing a deal with the AAF's Memphis Express and their head coach, Mike Singletary.
Mm-hmm.
The Express have failed at QB all year
winners.
With Christian Hackenberg, Zach Mettenberger, and Brandon Silvers, who I don't know much about him, all struggling under center. Singletary, as we know.
The funny thing is that Silvers has been the best by far.
Yeah.
He was actually okay this weekend.
Yeah, a touchdown and no pick.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Well, Singletary, as we know, hasn't had much success with his quarterbacks as a head coach with the 49ers. He had Alex Smith having two of his worst seasons in the NFL under Singletary.
That was a young Alex Smith, to be fair.
JT Sullivan and Sean Hill was there.
No.
Granted, not a lot of guys, but also not a lot of success.
Uh-huh.
So, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. This is Johnny Manziel's last chance to make it back to the NFL.
No, I'm going to say Out of Bounds here. Now, is there some sort of connection with Singletary and the lack of quarterback success? Yeah, I mean, we just ran through a few names. You can't disregard that completely here. But here's why my answer is out of bounds. First of all, by the time he's not going to play this week, I don't think. I don't think he's going to start this week. He's got to, you know, consume the playbook. He's obviously got to get in rhythm a little bit out there. They've got 4 weeks to go for the regular season. They're not good, so they're not going to make the playoffs, barring something incredibly wacky or unforeseen. So what they'll probably do is, and I have no problem with this, it makes sense, business is business. If they lose again this week, or if they win and Silvers plays poorly, now you throw Johnny out there, you try to make a few bucks, get some people in the stadium, Johnny Manziel, people will be more compelled to come watch Johnny than, with all due respect, Brandon Silvers. So, but it's out of bounds because it's such a small sample, and it's midseason, and I do think that NFL decision makers, personnel people, will compartmentalize, you know, just how tough it is to be thrust into the middle of any season. You know, foreign concepts, different verbiage, different teammates and players' tendencies, a few different rules here. As long as Johnny handles himself and comports himself like a pro, and the fact that he's been signed by the Alliance tells me, obviously, there was no real discernible indiscretions up there in Canada, I still believe he would get a shot next year to go to camp, maybe not the NFL, but maybe with the Alliance, whatever. I'm going to say out of bounds, and I'm rooting for Johnny. Teague and I always say this. I need a definitive answer, and I don't think I've gotten it yet. Can Johnny play, especially now in the new NFL? A little bit of a different system, smaller guys, more success. I'm rooting for him. I say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo scored a career-high 52 points yesterday in an epic battle against Joel Embiid and the 76ers. Despite his monster game, however, Giannis and the Bucks lost at home as Embiid poured in 40 of his own points. On the season, Giannis is fourth in the NBA in scoring, has averaged over 30 points and 13 boards since the start of February. Mm-hmm. However, the Bucks are just 2-3 in the five games in which Giannis scores over 40 or more points. While the other side in the Western Conference, top MVP candidate James Harden, who's averaging 35 points a game, has 25 games over 40 points, and the team is 19-6 in those games.
Crazy.
Giannis should win the MVP over Harden and everybody else.
You know, I'm going to answer it, but I will say this. I don't know if we have our answer yet. This thing's still up in the air. I mean, without Malcolm Brogdon, I want to see how the Bucks finish up here. That's a terrible break for them, by the way. That's bad. 7-8 weeks. That's not good for their playoff future. I don't think. But I still think this is up in the air. I don't think. Well, it's probably out of the equation that somebody like Paul George could sneak through and win it here. I'm just trying to throw some other relevant names in there. It's a two man race. So I say that it's not. It could be one in the next couple of weeks. But I'm going to say inbounds for this reason. I do think Giannis will win. You know, we glorify the highlight stats, and I understand why. The home runs, I get it. The dunks, the offense, points per game, all that stuff. we gloss over the fact that a non-center is averaging 13 rebounds a game. 13 rebounds a game. So not only is he scoring, he's become a very, and he's always been a pretty willing passer, but he's become a better passer. The offensive numbers are there. The PER is well north of 30. This guy averages 13 rebounds a game. I mean, go look at, like, Kareem's best year. Oh, I know it's totally different. More possessions, blah, blah, blah. But Kareem or Olajuwon or Moses or, you know, Rodman is a great, the best of all time, maybe. 13 rebounds a game for a non-center with the points and the requisite wins. I say Giannis by a tick, but I do think it's still up in the air.
Are you in or are you out?
As we know, Bryce Harper got a late start to spring training this year, signing with the Phillies in February, late February. So far this spring, Harper is 0-for-8 in 14 plate appearances, including getting plunked on the ankle, which caused him to miss 2 days of action and meant that he had to play in a minor league game today. Harper is no stranger to getting off to slow starts, hitting just .219 by the end of June last year, but finished hitting .249 with 34 home runs and, for the first time ever, eclipsed the 100 RBI mark with 100 RBI on the dot.
Mm-hmm.
Inbounds, out of bounds. Bryce Harper will be less productive in his first season with the Phillies than he was last year in D.C.
He's going to destroy people in that ballpark. Absolutely, unequivocally out of bounds. Now, we're just talking about basketball, to be honest, right? Imagine, because I do think part of the reason why he's 0-for-8 is he's just learning to see the ball again. And really any other sport, even the timing of football, baseball is so unique in this sense. Like, say if a great NBA player, I'll stick with the NBA analogy, great NBA player signs late, free agent contract, right? For whatever reason, it's not going to happen, but Kevin Durant drags through. Oh, I don't know where I'm going. I know that the money's there immediately, but just roll with it for a minute. And he doesn't show up until NBA training camp, 9 days left in camp. You know, Kevin Durant can still shoot. And you see, basketball is an individual thing. As long as cardiovascularly you're good, the mechanics of your shot and your handle, it's not going to seem so foreign like a baseball player who is trying to, number one, manage his own mechanics and now also hit something that's moving. So the reason he's afraid is he's way behind, number one. Number two, the power alleys at Citizens Bank Park, 369. Do you know how many jam shots he's going to hit off the wall? How many opposite field blasts he's going to hit? This guy's going to go crazy. Now, I do think, I mean, listen, this happens. I remember seeing Giambi with the Yankees, A-Rod with the Yankees, Tino Martinez with the Yankees. I don't think Barry Bonds got off to a really terrible start in San Francisco. I'd have to actually look at that. But in terms of some other big free agent signings, baseball, you press. It's not like I go out and I score 25 points, I feel good. You know, you're 60 feet 6 inches away. If you're 0-for-4, Stanton got booed, 0-for-5 opening day, all those whiffs. If you're having a rough go, they're going to get on you, and you're going to hear it, and you're going to feel isolated. There's nowhere to hide. Bryce Harper, I believe, is going to be in the MVP race this year. I believe Bryce Harper goes well north of 40 bombs, and I believe Bryce Harper is going to have an OPS over 1,000. He's going to be terrific.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
It's going to be fun watching him, though. Oh, boy. You know, I mean, you'd rather deal with, although you could actually debate the merits of how much, you know, which would hurt worse. Kind of say if you're sliding into second, you kind of hurt your thumb, or taking a fastball off the ankle bone at 96. That doesn't feel good, but at least a bone bruise is going to go away, subside once the swelling goes down. But that is, that's a tough way to start. Now, Bryce Harper's going to be terrific. And I understand, listen, Bryce Harper, when he came up, was positioned as Mickey Mantle. He's not that guy so far. He's not. There's been an element of underachievement statistically. There's been a little, although I do think he's finally gotten over this, little inconsistency in terms of temperament. He's obviously had a little child this year early on, a little petulant. You just remember the situation with Papelbon. Papelbon got on him, run it out, you know. A little entitlement maybe. Maybe a little arrogance that he, maybe before he deserved it or earned that right to flash that kind of arrogance. Bryce Harper in that ballpark is just, he's going to crush it. He's going to be unbelievable. All right, coming up next, he's in studio. This is March. Get the trademark, Rothstein. Guy's awesome. That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.